I'm the director of the Australian Centre for Jewish Civilization at Monash University. I've written a book that was recently reissued. I wrote it 20 years ago. It was taught on the New South Wales HSC curriculum for about 10 years, The 50th Gate, a memoir about my parents' experiences as Holocaust survivors. Unfortunately, in the last year, my wife Karen passed away, and I found myself compelled to write a memoir about the 10 months from her diagnosis till her death, and reflecting on what it's like to be a carer, be so close to witnessing a death, and also the life that we shared for over 30 years.
Mark, I've read the book, The 30 Days. It's a really sad book, because I was really upset to hear that first you lost your wife, and the whole process, I mean, it was a very intense 10 months. You know, the person's dying, you can't help, you can't stop it. How did you manage to write such a revealing book?
The book is called 30 Days because I wrote it during the Shloshim. Somehow I must have been possessed by her spirit. I don't even remember writing the first draft of the book, but by the time we arrived at the Shloshim, I'd written something like 90,000 words. I feel as if a dibuk took possession of me and dictated it to me. I had a whole life of 30 years that I needed to put down on the page. Part of experiencing the loss of somebody and anticipating the loss of somebody that you've shared your entire adult life with is a fear of losing your memory, all the stories that one lived together. I felt this need to just put everything on paper before I would forget.
And writing the story, did it help you with the process of the grieving?
I don't know if it helped me with the process of the grieving. I thought that I was an avel for the 10 months from the beginning of her diagnosis. You know, she was perfectly healthy one day. She experienced some back pain, went to a doctor, and within 2 days we were given the news that she had a rare form of gastric cancer, and I was warned not to look up on Dr. Google what the prognosis was, but I knew immediately that, you know, her time was very limited, that she'd be lucky to live a year, and she only lived 10 months. Within 3 weeks of her diagnosis, I thought she was going to die. The cancer was just so aggressive, and then it was halted in part by chemotherapy, which was horrific for her, particularly the first round. Already then I was mourning, and I thought I was going through the process of mourning in the 10 months. But it was only after she passed away the real experience of grief began. 10 months I withdrew from life. I was totally disconnected from friends, from work, from anything that was part of the world of the living.
I was fascinated by your writing. I mean, you describe as you met it as teenagers, you got married so young, the love between you. Can you share it with our listeners?
I couldn't write the book with a censor on my shoulder. I wrote very openly and surprisingly intimately about our marriage and the life that we shared. Part of it was because in writing the book, I was trying to recover the truth of who she was. It was the question that Karen asked herself during the 10 months of her dying. As the rabbis say, Ma'i in Bata, where do you come from? And where are you going? Da lifnei atatit latet din v'cheshbon. I know the rabbis meant that you give a reckoning to God. I think in Karen's mind, in my mind, that reckoning is to oneself, to each other. I continue to ask that question, and whether 30 years of marriage, one can truly know a person. It's a question that I would hope that all readers of this book would ask. Do we ever truly know ourselves? And how would we assess our life if we knew that tomorrow we were dying? And what would it mean to give a din v'cheshbon to ourselves with death hanging over us at what is an early age? We're all going to die. When you know that you're facing the end, then you're really forced to ask those difficult questions. And I wrote that book in the 30 days of complete rawness. It's a very raw book that I don't think I could write today more than a year after Karen's death.
So can you share with our listeners your life with Karen, the celebration of life, rather?
Right. Well, we went to the same school. We went to Mount Scopus in Melbourne. We were in the same year At times we were in the same class, but we had no romantic relationship throughout school. It was only at university that we met each other again and started to go out. We had three children. Our first son was born in Israel. We came back to Australia and I took the position as a lecturer first at Melbourne University, then later moved to Monash. But I think one of the parts of our lives that I reflect on a lot was during a period of trauma for Keren, when she lost within the space of a year both of her parents, her mother to cancer and her father to post-operative surgery. Immediately after, we went to Oxford and I studied Jewish history at Oxford, and Keren, who was a doctor, went on to do medical research. We were separated for a year. It was soon after our marriage, for about a month, when I went ahead to Oxford and she was finishing her final year of medicine. And after she died, I started to rummage through all her drawers and all her papers, just wanting to know, who was she? Well, did she leave something behind that would give a clue to something that I didn't know about this person I'd lived with and I'd built a life with? I found in a laundry cupboard, I had to climb a ladder, these shoe boxes, and in one, Keren had handwritten Mark's letters, and in another, Keren's letters. And I didn't know they existed, and I pulled them down, and they were aerograms, you know, letters that we had written to each other every day during that month when we were separated. The letters were written with such a heightened sense of passion and also reflected Keren after her parents' death in a very vulnerable way that I didn't recognize and recall 20 and 30 years later. It made me think, who was this person? Did she carry the suppressed memories of what she had written? Did I deliver on the promises of love that I had, you know, written in my own handwriting in those letters? Why didn't she show them to me? Why didn't we read them together in the final months in the way that we looked through photo albums and shared them with our children? And it made me reflect a lot about marriage and the fluctuations of marriage, the routinization of marriage, and how lucky we were that in the 10 months of her dying that we, in a sense, went back to that honeymoon heyday period of deep love that sometimes gets buried, but inevitably in the day-to-day routines of life and bringing up children. I wanted to understand that and to ask, you know, what is a marriage and what is love and what does it mean to build a life together as a shared unit?
We are talking to Mark Baker, a writer and a director of Australian Centre for Jewish Civilization at Monash University. Mark, my last question, what was the reaction of the children and the close family after the book was published?
I gave all three of my children draft manuscript of the books and we all read it together. I said to them that if there's anything there that they don't approve of, if they're uncomfortable, I'm not going to give this to a publisher. They acted in the opposite way. They said, we want to start reading it again. So they supported the book.
Mark Baker, writer and the director of Australian Centre for Jewish Civilization at Monash University. Thank you very much.